Mike Zweifel back here on WEKZ, AM 1260 and FM 95.5. For To The Point here today, May is Stroke Awareness Month, and we're pleased to be joined here today with FHN Stroke Program Coordinator Tracy Love. Tracy, thanks so much for coming aboard and joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate the time, and as mentioned, May is Stroke Awareness Month, and we hear a lot about stroke and stroke prevention in the media. Can you tell us a little bit and define maybe what a stroke actually is?
Sure. So a stroke, there can be two different types of strokes. We have a stroke that's caused by a clot, and those are typically the ones we call an ischemic stroke. And like I said, that one's actually caused by a clot. It's the most common type of stroke, and it happens to about 87 to 90% of people are going to have, if they have a stroke, it's going to be this type where a clot gets stuck in a vessel in the brain. And when we talk about stroke, the other type of stroke is also what we call a hemorrhagic stroke, or where the vessel actually opens up and bleeds. Luckily, that is the less common type of stroke that only happens about 10% of the time, but can have its own problems and be equally as dangerous.
Now, Tracy, kind of a good news, bad news here. The good news is, or the bad news, I guess I'll start first, stroke is the fifth leading cause of death in the U.S., but the good news, that's actually down from the fourth position. What's contributed to the decline of stroke deaths?
You know, and it's been decreasing over the years. Even up to like 10, 12 years ago, it was actually the third leading cause of death. So the fact that it's dropped to number five is good news for everybody. I think a lot of the reason why this is starting to come down a little bit is there's been a lot of education campaigns across the country and within our region of trying to get information out there to everyone and what the signs and symptoms of a stroke are, and knowing that they need to get to a hospital as fast as they can for time-saving treatments. I think other reasons why it's decreased a lot, too, is in just even the past 5 to 10 years, we've gotten so many more treatment options for patients who are having an acute stroke that it gives us a little more opportunity to try to treat these patients quicker in more practical ways that really helps prevent them from, you know, dying from their stroke. Rather, we give them more opportunity to try to continue on.
Now, Tracy, you mentioned recognizing the symptoms. Describe a little bit the symptoms of a stroke that a person might notice in themselves or maybe someone else.
So some of the big things to know about a stroke is the symptoms are going to be very sudden. These are not symptoms that are going to come on slow over time. It's, I was feeling okay, and now I don't at all. And things that you really want to look for are any weakness, numbness, tingling on one side of the body. So, you know, you may have all of a sudden get numbness or tingling in your hand or leg, inability to walk, you know, losing their balance. Some people, it can be sudden dizziness, sudden loss of balance, or a sudden headache where it's not like a migraine headache that comes on slowly over time. It's going to be something where I didn't have it, and then a lot of people say it's like a thunderclap where it's the worst headache they've ever had in their life. Other symptoms are also having blurred vision. So like I mentioned with the dizziness, they can also get blurred vision, and many times it's vision problems in just one eye. Also having problems with speech. Sometimes people will get, their speech will start to be slurred. It sounds like their tongue's real thick, or I even tell people it's almost like they sound like they've been drinking, they sound like they're drunk, but they're not. So those are some of the things to look for in a person who's having a stroke. But the key to it is it happens immediately. It happens suddenly.
And Tracy, isn't there an acronym that helps folks remind them of the symptoms to look for in a stroke?
There is, and actually this has kind of been upgraded. We used to use the term FAST, meaning face, arm, speech, and time. And we've increased that now. We're trying to get every message out to everybody to tell them that you should be fast about a stroke. So BEFAST. And the B is for balance. So, again, it's that sudden dizziness, sudden loss of balance. I can't walk straight all of a sudden. The E is for eyes. Again, the blurred vision, the sudden inability to see out of one eye. FAST is for face. Do they have a facial droop? Does one side of their mouth droop, or does one eye look like it's drooping, almost as if it's both? It makes the one side of the face almost look like it's just melting, that it's all drooping on one side. Arms, have somebody put their arms out in front of them. If one arm, they can't lift it up as high as the other one, or it starts to drift or drop down, that also is a symptom. And S is for speech. So if they're having a slurred speech, inability to talk, or you're talking to them and the words coming out aren't making sense, any one of those signs is a very large potential that somebody is having a stroke. So the T stands for time. Don't waste time sitting at home thinking the symptoms are going to get better and go away, because most times they don't. You need to get into the hospital. If you're ever going to call an ambulance, this is the time to do it. I would recommend calling 911 and getting to a hospital as fast as you can, because so many of our treatments we have now are based on time. And if you don't get there fast enough, it limits the amount of options we have to treat the patient.
Tracy Love with us, FHN Stroke Prevention Coordinator. You just mentioned time and getting to the ER quickly, and that's basically what you just said there, is the reasoning, because the quicker you get there, the quicker it could be diagnosed, and the quicker you guys can come up with the treatment. Is that correct?
Yes. Everything is very time dependent. We have, with stroke, there's just such a limited amount of time, because for every minute that somebody goes without blood flow in their brain, 2 million brain cells start to die. So for every minute that's delayed, more and more brain cells die, more and more damage is done that's permanent. So it's really getting to the hospital as fast as you can so that we can get the right diagnoses quickly and get the treatment started as fast as we can.
Tracy, we spent a lot of time trying to define a stroke and what to do when you notice someone maybe is having one, but what causes a stroke?
So there's many things that actually can lead up to somebody having a stroke. Like I said, with a stroke, it's either you're going to have a clot in the brain that sticks, or you're going to have a vessel that opens up and bleeds. But things that lead up to a stroke, people need to know what their numbers are and start talking with their doctors about ways to prevent those strokes. So some of the things that can lead a person to having a stroke are diabetes, high blood pressure, smoking. If somebody has a condition called atrial fib, where the top two chambers of the heart are not beating appropriately, that can lead them to developing blood clots. Also, just obesity, inactivity, those are some of the things to really look at. So cholesterol, if your cholesterol is very, very high, similar to causing problems with the heart, equally can cause problems with the brain. So if anybody has diabetes, high blood pressure, AFib, high cholesterol, any of those things, it's really working with your doctor to make sure that you're on the right treatments, right medications to try to prevent a stroke from ever happening.
Besides nutrition and having the proper diet, anything else you can do to prevent a stroke?
Yes, actually just, you know, making sure that we do things in moderation, making sure that we exercise. And again, if you have high blood pressure, making sure you're taking your blood pressure medicines as the doctor's directed. If you have atrial fibrillation, sometimes people are put on medications to prevent a clot from building up. We call them blood thinners. So if you have atrial fibrillation, make sure you're working with your doctor, that you're on your medications, you're taking them as they tell you, you're having any lab draws that you need. And just making sure, again, that we're working with our doctors and nurse practitioners, our providers, to make sure that we're keeping ourselves as healthy as we can.
Tracy, question, folks texting in here now. Is strokes, are they hereditary if you have a history of strokes in your family? I mean, is that something you should watch out for?
That is true, yes. There are some things we can't control. So like when I was talking about the high blood pressure, diabetes, those are things we sometimes can control because we can control what we do to take care of them. There are some things we cannot control. And if our mom, dad, brother, sister, grandma, or grandpa have ever had a stroke, you know, that leads us at a higher risk of having a stroke ourselves, even though we maybe haven't had one ourselves yet. So it just means that there might be something in the family. Our African-American populations have a higher risk of having stroke than Caucasian population, as well as our Hispanic populations have a higher risk of having complications from a stroke than our Caucasian population. So there are some things we just can't control, but knowing that we're at a bit of a higher risk and then working with our providers to make sure that we're checking ourselves so that we don't continue to cause ourselves to be high risk is very important.
Tracy, tell us a little bit about TIA and how this is different.
So a TIA is what we call a transient ischemic attack. What a lot of people say is they've had a mini stroke in the past. And many, many times if somebody says they've had a mini stroke, they're talking about the TIA, the transient ischemic attack. The biggest difference between a TIA and a stroke, the symptoms are going to be the same. So somebody's going to start having symptoms of a full-blown stroke, but for whatever reason, the symptoms start to go away. So typically with a TIA, a clot has built up somewhere in the brain, and for whatever reason, it keeps going downstream. So it blocks for a short period of time, the person will have symptoms, and then the clot passes on. and the symptoms start to go away. It's really important, though, to not go, oh, it went away, I don't have a problem. You really, really, really need to still realize that if one clot could build up and stick, even though you got lucky and the clot dissolved and went away, another clot could come and stick, and that one may not go away, and they could have a full-blown stroke. So anytime somebody has had a TIA, we tell them, you know, you still need to get to the hospital as fast as you can because you don't know which one you're having. And we still need to get you on the right treatment options to prevent you from ever having another one or from prevent you from having a full-blown stroke. So very important that a TIA is really a big warning sign that a possible stroke could be in your future.
Tracy, the ER at FHN has sophisticated equipment to help stroke victims. Tell us about this.
And yes, we did, just a few years back, we did sign up a collaboration with the teleneurology group. So we do have a robot within our emergency department that we are able to take not only within the emergency department but throughout the hospital to have neurologists on the other end of the robot camera work with our doctors and nurses and work with our patients to try to help diagnose a stroke faster and try to help us collaborate to come up with the best treatment options for our patients. The robot's portable, so it goes either within the ED, throughout the hospital, and the doctors on the other end are from different hospitals around the country who are stroke experts who are able to work with us. So it's been very exciting. We've had this now in place for about 6 years, and we've really... The collaboration has worked really well with our providers and nurses, and the patients seem to have really enjoyed it and appreciated it as well, because we've really been able to work as a team together to try to help our patients and our community to get the most appropriate treatments for stroke that we can.
And with that service and with that equipment, FHM Memorial Hospital received several designations as a stroke-ready hospital, including one late last year. Really quite an achievement. Tell us about that.
So last year we were awarded the Gold Plus Award through the Get With The Guidelines program. Get With The Guidelines Stroke Program is a collaboration with hospitals around the country working with the American Heart and Stroke Association through Get With The Guidelines. And it's a quality measure. So there are 8 core measures that a hospital has to meet over the course of 2 years to get a Gold Award. And then the plus part of that means that the hospital has also met I believe it's 5 more criteria on top of that original 8. So for a total of 13 to 14 quality measures that have to be met to get the Gold Plus Award over 2 years. And our hospital did receive it in 2017 and 2018. So we were very excited about that.
Wow, very impressive, Tracy. Finally here, presentation coming up. It's tomorrow, Wednesday, May the 8th. 5:30 at FHN Family Healthcare Center, Burchard Hills. Tell us a little bit about what folks are going to get out of coming to this Stroke Care Minute and what they're going to learn about stroke awareness.
Yes, so tomorrow night I'll be doing the presentation, and the biggest thing is trying to get as much information out to our communities as possible. I will be talking about signs and symptoms of a stroke, what causes them, and also a lot of the treatment options that we have available within our region, also throughout the country. So we're really living in times where stroke has become so dynamic. There's so many new options out there that are coming forward that, you know, it's trying to get that information out to everybody so that they're aware of what options they have if they would ever find themselves in that position.
Now, is this a free event? Does it have any cost registration, or do people just show up then, Tracy?
It is a free event. Registration is asked but not required, so you can still come no matter what. And it will be at FHN Burchard Hills Center tomorrow at 5:30 p.m.
All right, very good. Folks, have any more questions or inquiries for you or just about FHN or stroke awareness, is there a good spot for folks to go to find out more?
Yes, they can always go to www.fhn.org. Or you can always call the hospital at 1-877-6000-FHN. And you can go ahead and just ask for me, the stroke coordinator, if you have any questions, and I'll definitely be able to help.
Awesome. Tracy, thanks so much for taking the time here today and sharing some great information about strokes and Stroke Awareness Month.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And she's Tracy Love, FHN Stroke Program Coordinator, joining us here today on To The Point.